Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are, be airing in the middle of December.
Yes.
And we've talked about, by the way, to our audience that if you remember, and even if you haven't done it, still consider it, is don't let the next basically, 15, 16 days, which is the end, going into Christmas holiday and New Year's, is that don't let that be something that burdens you.
Right.
Because of the stress and the different schedule and the pressure and the finances and all that. Really take the time to come before God and say, how would you want me to live this out, to enjoy it? And that's
right. That's and have real joy in it. Yeah.
And Kathy and I, we work at that generally with our spouses every quarter, every season. Father, how would you have me readjust to create more margin? And basically, it's not to lose the beauty of joy.
Right.
Which is, first of all, just not overscheduling. So that we're not pushed and rushed. And I can tell you historically, because of my plate spinning, that was it's kind of a problem.
Right.
Because I actually kind of enjoyed it, so to speak. And I was pretty good at it, but there would always be one too many plates. And it was stressful.
Can I back you up on that real quick? I know this is a sidebar, but you say you kind of enjoyed it. Do you think you actually enjoyed it, or do you think you got so comfortable with what it was you were doing that you didn't realize what you were missing?
The part of it that was, I said I kind of enjoyed it, was really pride. That I could do this. I can handle all these things. Look how skilled I am at handling all these things. And it was a source of pride that reinforced my ego, basically.
Right.
Well, look how terrific you are, and because it reinforced my ego, that's why I said I kind of enjoyed it, because it fed that.
Right.
Now, it didn't bring me real joy.
Right.
At all. It was the opposite.
But you had to kind of step out and let God reveal that to you to even realize that you were settling for less than, right?
Exactly. That the truth is, I wasn't enjoying it really, because I was stressed. Where even daily, because I'd be behind on meetings or things that I had to do and try to do, I couldn't get it all done. And now I'm under pressure. And it's what they call, and this is in Matthew chapter 11, I became weary. Now, when you're weary, you're not joyful at all.
Right, right.
So I wasn't, you could look at me and say, you're not a joyful person. And when I said I kind of enjoyed it, it was feeding my ego. And that piece of it felt good, so to speak.
Right.
But it certainly wasn't right.
But it is how we get trapped into that, right?
Yeah, right. That's
right. It's kind of staying in what you know, and there's a certain level of it that honestly is cooperating with a lie the enemy's feeding you.
Yeah. And then on top of that, when you actually look at, well, maybe I should do things differently, you overvalue your own importance.
Yes.
That I can't get rid of that because they need me. Well, I can't get rid of that because they need me. And that's where the ego and the pride comes in. It's like, God says, well, actually they don't.
Right. And in fact, I need you to get out of the way.
And I need you to, for your own joyfulness and life, I need you to be pruned. That's what he talks about, the vine, as you got to be pruned back, cut back, and I'll create the space so you actually enjoy life, And so when I started to recognize that, it's okay, I'm going to get to what I call my sweet spot. And that's with Linda and the family, is how do I get to that point where I'm really having daily freedom, joy, I'm not overscheduled, not doing too many things, my mind isn't racing with all these different things. And I'm being effective in fulfilling God's assignments, right. And I'm enjoying those assignments. So you get to your sweet spot. But because of growth and change and things that happen, and you do this and we do this, is we do it quarterly. We do a reevaluation. And yeah. you do it, you know, particularly because you talk about your season for the summer, season for the fall, season for the spring.
Yeah, I kind of do those natural changing points, natural transitions.
You kind of do it and reevaluate and say, okay, what are we doing? Not about, are you doing something wrong? It's just, I've got to get cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've gone through that recently, both of us, and said, okay, how do we fulfill our call to, you know, keep using the podcast to basically invite people to come and see, you know, come and learn what it means to walk with God, and people follow it and they love it and are part of it. Cause the way we, you know, remember we started out, an hour long.
Yes.
You know, and then God says, cut it in half, you know, and people actually, it's better for the people.
And that, so, yes, that was well received.
And then we came up with a way to schedule it. And then recently, you know, through God speaking to you and also to both of us, is that, well, even now I got to show you how to do it even differently, much more effectively, so that the amount of time to do this is actually less if you do it in a different way. And it creates more space to do other assignments.
Right.
Without sacrificing your own personal time with God, your freedom, your time with your spouse, time with your kids. Now you're going to be with grandkids, which we have.
Right.
That takes time. You know?
Yeah. And, so there's a whole nother season. Yes.
So, you know, that's what you and I are doing. And so we're getting ahead. We're working at getting ahead even further and actually taping less frequent. It's kind of interesting that God's given it to us. And then, you know, we're going to, within times, we're going to introduce Denny Weinberg is going to help us just with that as being kind of a co-host. So it frees you up from not having to tape, you know, it just
gives me a little more bandwidth.
Yeah. Yeah. We tape those maybe, you know, an hour or two at a time, but it does take time, which, and what it does, see, it's not about that 2 hours. It's about during that typical 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Kathy and Rich, you can get ahead further.
Right.
And therefore do less frequent taping. You know, so that's what we do. So here we are, you know, we're going to be airing this December 15th. There's no Christmas tree behind you.
No. Well, because we're taping it the end of October.
Right. Yeah, we're still not even into November yet. So it'll be fun. But we just want to urge everybody to consider It's a big deal, and we just did a retreat with even Gen Z and with other couples, and the biggest issue is they're just weary. And the only overcoming weariness is to let God reassign and structure things differently, that you can live a life of freedom and joy, and recognize that's His desire, which means I don't have to do all these things, and I'm not that important to do all these things. But there are things that are important. God said, yeah, I've given you assignments, which, you know, we've given the podcast and we've given you Abide
Ministry.
Yes,
stewarding those assignments and stewarding the gifts, but where He's calling you to and not just where you have decided.
Exactly. So I just let everybody know that. And then we've been talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, and we're in that process of the reconciliation piece, which is, remember, forgiveness is my heart before God, and I'm joining Him in His place, which is what? He has released the requirement of somebody needing to be perfect in order to be reconciled with God.
Right.
So He released that requirement because on my own nature, He said, I went to the cross, took on the penalty, and freed up permanently now the ability of anybody to move from the position where your requirement is perfection, which means you can't get there.
Right.
To I've removed that and replaced it with now the ability for you to reconcile, which is believing what I've done and receiving, you know, what I've done. So when we step in that same spot, He says, when you go to forgiveness, see, you haven't guaranteed reconciliation.
Right.
And I'm saying to you that God speaking, I'm not asking you to keep being hurt by these people. I'm going to free you up from that on your side of it. The best would be if they'd be willing to reconcile.
Right.
And he said, think of it real simple. My will is that none shall perish, which means they spend eternity separated from me.
Right.
He said, that's not my will. And I'm going to do everything I can. I've already forgiven them, taken away that requirement. So all they have to do now is process the truth. And my heart is for them to process the truth, but I can't force them to process the truth.
Right.
So I can't guarantee reconciliation, but I give them the opportunity for reconciliation. So when we forgive somebody, it's we just join God in that same place as I've now taken away the requirement. In order to please me, they have to do something. I forgave them on the same basis I've been forgiven, is that Christ's nature. My heart is now free so that we can process the possibility of reconciliation.
Right.
And let that go where it's going to go, which can be that they won't. God says, I live without them reconciling because I can't change the truth. And the process, the focus, because I've already done the forgiveness, isn't on that. It's on the fact that help them see that I've forgiven them, one, and that they need me in order to have a relationship with me and spend eternity with me. That's where the focus is. He said, that's where I want your focus, not on the anger and the frustration and the harm that your energy into, you're going to get back at him or you're going to argue and debate him or fight him. He says, no, I want you to live a place of truth where you can, with honor and respect, offer them a chance for reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So we started talking about that. And we said, you know, for an unbeliever who's hurting us, it doesn't surprise us because why? Well, they're self-centered by nature. They don't really care one iota about the impact it has on us. That's not part of their thought. And they can easily hurt us, stay hurting us, and not be concerned what they're doing in my life because of it. And God says, well, that shouldn't surprise you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at the core, they don't know true unconditional love because they haven't stepped into relationship with Jesus.
Right.
So our expectation of them should not be one that reflects his heart.
Right.
You know, we're expecting them to display and have something that they have never experienced. It's offered to them, but they don't have it. So our core foundation of where we're coming from is different.
Yeah. And even further to, care that the impact of what they've done by hurting us, harming us, coming against us, causing us trouble, that they should care about that.
Yeah.
And they don't. You know, see, a lot of them don't at all. And so, now, by the way, there's some unbelievers that do, where you can say to them, you know, hey, this isn't right, you know, what you've done here. And it could be, you know, I've had people who have who've done, you know, the work around the house, for example, and, you know, they did something that wasn't right, or they harmed us, or they did something that was just was hurtful. And I could sit with them and say, you know, hey, I just want to share with you what you did here or how you handled that wasn't effective, you know, where you said you were going to show up and you didn't, or you said you could do the work and you couldn't, you know, and now you've charged me for this and it's not right. You know, I'd like to talk to you about that. And remember, I'm not saying I demand my own answer.
Right.
It's just, hey, would you be willing to consider that I'm going to share with you what happened, what I feel happened? Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to process that? See, and some do. By the way, most of the time they don't care. I had a guy, you know, I hired a handyman and had good, decent reference, and he started doing pretty good work, which good. It was great. And so after about 2 months of doing pretty good work, he came to me and said, "I'm in a position where I could really expand my business, but I need new tools to be able to do that. And I don't have the cash to do that. Would you advance me a pretty substantial amount of money so I could go buy the tools? And then we'll work it off by a portion of that. Instead of you paying me, I'll just work it off with hours."
Right.
And again, I violated two things. One, I didn't even consider going to God and saying, should I do that? And I know better.
Right. It's funny because, how we do that. We can slip into that so easily sometimes.
Yeah. Because it's not about, well, this seems right. You know, it's like every decision God wants us to say, you know, particularly like, do you want me to do that? You know, that's one, number one, I violated that. Number two, I did not tell Linda at all and say, hey, Linda, you know, because you remember God says, yeah, even if you were insensitive, Rich, to the Spirit, Linda might have said it. I'm not sure about that, you know?
Right.
And because
gift of unity, right?
Yeah. When she says, I'm not sure about that, see, then I would have pursued it. Like, okay, because my goal isn't to just do what I want. It's rather to have God's will. So anyway, I violated both of those. So I said, sure, I give him the money. So that's the last time I ever saw him. He took the money, never showed up again, wouldn't respond to calls, wouldn't respond to emails, wouldn't respond to nothing. He took off. It was a scheme that he got to that point where I would have a little bit of trust. mm-hmm. give him the money, and then he took the money, stole the money.
Wow.
Now, because, you know, unbeliever, you know, rich, by the way, you didn't ask me.
Right.
First of all, I could have been really, really, really angry mm-hmm. and frustrated. You know, look at what he did. It's wrong. It's awful. It's terrible. And blah, blah, blah. You know, and God says, well, does that surprise you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the answer was, no, not really. Okay. Have you forgiven him on the same basis I've been forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to work through that is that, yes, my heart can be free without any heavy burden or deep roots of bitterness about it because, well, you've already forgiven him. Okay, now he says, let's talk about reconciliation. Have you been able to get to him?
No. Right.
I can't even get to him to consider discussing this at all.
It's not even an option. Right.
It's not even common. So he said, well, you're done. So he's not going to be reconciled. By the way, he's stepping into cursing because of what he did. But your answer is let it go. Let the mm-hmm. things behind, Paul says, forget the things that lay behind and press on to the high calling of Christ. Literally, let it go and don't even focus on it at all. And mm-hmm. yeah, you're out the money. Partly you contributed to that.
Right.
Because you didn't process that with me. So you, mm-hmm. yeah, you're out the money.
So there are some consequences to it, right?
Yeah, there's consequences to that. And I can restore that. But mostly I'll restore your freedom. Mm. That's what I really want to restore. So does that surprise you?
Mm-hmm.
And that somebody would do that. Not really. Okay, let it go. And you don't need to pursue this any further at all. Now, for an unbeliever, it should be easy for us to get to that point if we can keep remembering, does that really surprise you?
Mm-hmm.
And since you can't do much about it, if you could talk to them, great. But if you can't or they don't care at all, well, the only option you have is to let it go.
Right.
And so let me get you to that. Because I don't want this to burden you of something that did happen from a self-centered person that came against you and caused consequences. Now, the problem as believers is, when we're talking about reconciliation, is what about when believers
mm-hmm.
are the ones that are doing that?
Right.
So that, you know, how do I handle that when I would think that if a person is truly a believer and has demonstrated or stated such, I'm a believer, and yet they do the same thing.
Yeah, we expect a higher standard.
We have a higher standard, and shouldn't God, since you have access to them through the Spirit, shouldn't you change what they're doing and their thought mm-hmm. about what they're doing, and then take care of this problem because they really need to change, you know? And this could be believing extended family, business people, church people, small group people, mm-hmm. all over the place, and in a way, it kind of does surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, well, actually, I want you to understand it shouldn't. Let's read a couple of verses. Okay. We actually read this last time, and we'll just highlight it and then go to a different one. Romans 8:5-8.
Sure. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, I was ready to stop.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So it says that if you live in the flesh, you're a believer, but you're living in the flesh. And again, remember, it just means I'm not pursuing living in the kingdom of God, where God's the king, mm-hmm. by pursuing his will, and I'm being led by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He said, so you're a believer not being led by the Holy Spirit. You're being led in the flesh. You've walked away from me. He said, there's three consequences. You put to death the power of the Holy Spirit, which mm-hmm. is, by the way, and the deeper you go with that, the more insensitive you become.
Right.
Where the Holy Spirit may be trying to convict me, but I'm not even responding to it because I'm mm-hmm. so much in the flesh. If I put to death the power of the Spirit, I'm an enmity against God. I'm working mm-hmm. against God and what he wants, which would, by the way, think about what he wants, reconciliation.
Right.
He said, yeah, you're going to have conflict all the time, even amongst if you and your spouse who are, Linda and I, actively desire, follow the Holy Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit, go to unity. Guess what? We still irritate each other.
No, Linda doesn't irritate anyone.
I can tell you, that not quite true, you know, and because it's natural. See,
right. And, absolutely.
And you have differences of opinion, you have disagreement, you know, and he mm-hmm. says, so he said, I'm not talking about not having that. It's that, do you have a heart to let me bring reconciliation
right.
in spite of that? See, and so it's not about you don't ever have conflict anymore with believers. It's that you're going to have conflict with believers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my ideal will is for both of you to work it through, and I'll reconcile you both 100%. Mm-hmm. That's my will, absolute my will, and I can do it. So that, but we're at enmity against God means that his will is reconciliation. And see, I'm working against that. I don't care about reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because you're in the flesh and then you cannot please him. So he said, look at what can happen to people that you know are believers. They, mm-hmm. they have Christ in their heart. They've demonstrated that. But at the moment, they're walking away from me in the flesh. And they're moving to a spot where they don't have the same desire for reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, he says, as we go deeper on that, we'll catch up on this next time, we'll be in Psalm 78, is let me describe to you what happens to the heart.
Right.
About why they don't have a desire for reconciliation. And so we're going to try to talk through this issue of how do we handle, okay, I've learned forgiveness. And I mm-hmm. can receive that and join you in that same spot. Okay, I'm learning. And by the way, you said you can't even think about reconciliation until you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's still an issue, and by the way, the indicator is I'm still mad at that person to
right.
the level of I don't want to be with them. It bothers me. I'm mm-hmm. upset. He said, yeah, you haven't gone to forgiveness yet. We mm-hmm. just had a retreat where somebody gave me an example of I think I've forgiven them. And then they went on to describe what they want to do to that person because of the depth of what they did. Actually, they
we're
did
not
to,
quite there yet.
And I said, see, you're setting a hierarchy mm-hmm. because of the severity of what this person did. And basically it's against their spouse as when she was young. I still have this thought, see. And I said, well, it's not about the severity of the hurt.
Right.
God doesn't qualify that. He's forgiven mm-hmm. everybody, including Hitler or that person who's hurt your spouse. And it's awful. It's terrible. It's absurd what they did. But it just means you haven't got there yet on that piece mm-hmm. of it. Now, what we need to know is for you to get there. And then we'll talk about the reconciliation piece of that, which
right.
is different than that. But God's just showing you you're not there yet. And mm-hmm. he said, okay, I can actually see that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm not there yet. And if I'm going to have freedom, I really need to get there. Yeah, you do.
Right.
You know, and it's not about I should. Why don't you just stay with God and he'll give it to you. You
right.
know?
And that's and that Hebrews 12. He's author and finisher.
It.
When he brings
right.
it up, he will complete it. We just need to
it.
Stay with him.
Yeah. So if I've forgiven him and now I've got believers around me that somehow have hurt and crossed my line of justice, what do I do with that, particularly when they don't seem to care about reconciliation?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, here's why. And then we'll go next time into Psalm 78 that'll say, here's the what happens to the heart, the soul of somebody that walks in the flesh. So we'll talk about that. So Father, thank you for this very, very important process of getting to the point where we can understand what's happening. And then, Father, lead us as to bring freedom resolution to us despite what's happening. And so we look forward to what your answers are going to be. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have any questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.